So we're holding in Chagiga on page 44, the paragraph labeled Daf Vav on the base, middle of Os Vav. The Gemara is discussing the beginning of the Masechta Chagiga talks about the Korban Chagiga that you bring when you come to the Beis Mikdash on the Shalosh Regalim, as well as the Olas Re'iyah, where we know the Torah says, V'lo Yiro Fonei Reikam, when you're coming to the Beis Mikdash, you can't be empty-handed. So in that connection, then, the Gemara, you have a Machlokes V'Shama V'Shilol, what's the minimum that each of them has to be worth? And you have Shammai saying that the Oyla Sri'iyah should be worth more, and Basil saying that the Shlomim should be worth more. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions that the underlying machlokas is whether before Matan Torah the Jewish people brought only Korbanos Shlomim, or did they also bring Korbanos Oyla. So Gemara says, Tanya, Oylas Tomid Hasuya Bahar Sinai, when the Pasuk says about the Korban Tomid, the constant Oyla that was offered by Har Sinai. So what does that mean? What Ola are we talking about that was offered on Har Sinai? Rav Elazar Omer, Maseh Nemrin B'Sinai. So Rav Elazar says it means the rules of how to bring a Korban Ola were set on Har Sinai, like the rest of the Torah. V'hi atzmo le'korva, but it itself was not brought. Now, we do know that definitely before Matan Torah, they brought Korbanos, because the Pasuk says that at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where it gives more information about what happened in the days before and during Matan Torah, it says over there that the Nare Bnei Yisrael, the young men, which is the Bechorim, came and brought Olos and Shlomim. So the question is, what kind of Olo were they bringing? So Rashi explains, Rav Elazar holds then that holds that the Oyla they brought is not the Korban Tomid, but rather the equivalent of an Oyla Sriyah. It's Shavuos, which is one of the Shalosh Regalim anyway, but more to the point is they're seeing Hashem's presence at Matan Torah, and therefore they brought an Oyla in honor of that. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, we're saying that the rules for bringing the Korban Talmud were brought at Har Sinai, were given at Har Sinai, but the actual Korban Talmud itself was not brought at Har Sinai, only later on. Rabbi Akiva Omer Krev of Ashuv Lai Pasca, Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that no, they started bringing the Korban Torah at that point. That was the very first Korban Torah that was brought, Korban Talmud rather, that was brought. And after that, it continued as a continuous thing that they were bringing it. So it would have been on the Mizbeach that they built there by Har Sinai until the Mishkan was built. And after that, it would be on the Mizbeach and the Mishkan. And then they continued it, Rabbi Akiva is saying, throughout the 40 years in the desert. Elamani Makayim. So then Rabbi Akiva says, so what do we do with the pasuk that says the Navi Amos is criticizing the Jewish people, as we have many of the Nevi'im criticize the Jewish people that you're bringing korbanos, but you don't have the right intentions in mind. Here, the idea of a korban is that you should be chovev merutza, that Hashem should be as favorable to you as he was before the chet. And here, what you're doing is you're doing aveiros, and you're thinking like you're bribing Hashem with your korbanos or something. We have Yeshaya telling off the Jewish people for it, and other Nevi'im, and here we have Amos doing it. So Amos says, after all, you think korbanos are the most important thing of Yiddishkeit? Hazvochem u'mincha yigashtem li b'midbar boim shana beis Yisrael. After all, did you Jewish people bring me zvochim, which is korbanos, and minchas throughout the 40 years in the desert? Hashem is saying that no, you didn't, but you learned Torah and you did other mitzvahs then. So you see that bringing korbanos is not the be all and end all of Yiddishkeit. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Akiva is saying, the pasuk is clearly saying, therefore, that the Jewish people didn't bring korbanos regularly throughout the 40 years in the desert. So Rabbi Akiva says, then how do we understand if we say that they were bringing the korban talmid every day or twice a day throughout the years in the desert? Then what do we do with that pasuk? It means it's talking about the Jewish people in general. But Shivte Shalevi Shalev Rabbi Dezara, but Shevet Levi, that means that the Jewish people in general were not able to offer those korbanos because they had worshipped the Eagle. In particular, we know that the Bechorim who brought this korban before Matan Torah, they weren't able to afterwards because they had worshipped the Eagle. So Shivte Shalevi Shalev Rabbi Dezara, Heini Kruvoisa, Shevet Levi, whereas we know none of them worshipped Rabbi Dezara. None of them were involved in the Eagle, which is why when Moshe says Mila Hashem Eli, all of them gathered to him. So they're the ones who offered it. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, Not that there was no, not Rav Akiva, sort of Eliezer, Rav Elazar would take the pasuk at face value. There were actually no regular korbanos offered during those 40 years. We have the korban before Matan Torah. We have the korbanos of the 8 days of the Miluim. We have the korban Pesach that they brought in the second year, and that's about it. We don't really find that they brought other korbanos in the desert, says Rav Elazar. But Rav Akiva is saying no, they brought the korban Tamid twice a day. But when the pasuk is saying they didn't bring korbanos regularly, it means the Jewish people in general did not only shave at Levi. It would mean also the pashtos. What it would mean is that, I mean, as it is, the Yisraelim don't bring korbanos anyway, only the Kohenim do. So what it would mean the pashtos is that unlike in later generations where everybody gives matzah shekel and they bring the korbanos from that, from those funds, here it would be that Hashem didn't want it from the rest of the people, and only Shevet Levi would contribute, and only they would be contributing to the korban shavit. So Rabbi Akiva says that's what the pasuk means. The point is, in other words, again, you have the Gemara ends up explaining then that this machlokas relates to this question about in future generations when you have to bring an Olas Re'iyah and Shalei Chagiga, when you come into the Beis Mikdash, which one should be worth more? It depends on the question of whether in fact an Olas Re'iyah was the one brought before Matan Torah, which makes it more important, or whether that Ola that was brought was not the code, was not an Olas Re'iyah, but rather a regular Korban Tumah. By the way, you have in Menachos, the Gemara mentions a similar discussion as far as the Korbanos Musaf. It talks about it in particular in connection with Shavuos, where you have the regular Korban Musaf of Shavuos, like any other Yom Tov, plus you have the Shtei Alechem with the Korbanos that come with it, which part of that is mentioned in Parshas in Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, and part of it is mentioned in Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Pinchas. So there's a Macholikus over there also in Mishnah and the Gemara over there, which of them were brought in the Midbar versus which of them were brought only once they came to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, further on this question of the Nare Bnei Yisrael, the young Jewish men, the Bechorim, bringing the Korbanos before Matan Torah, whether we're talking about the Korban, or whether we're talking about Olas Re'iyah or an Olas Tamid, as the case may be. Now, so Boda Pista Haikra Hechikstit. How do we parse that pasuk? How do we read the pasuk? The pasuk is by Yishlachas Nare Bnei Yisrael. Moshe sent the young men among the Jewish people, by Yalu Oilers. So the pasuk goes like this, without inserting anything else. But the Gemara says the actual pasuk goes like this in Parshas Mishpatim. By Yishlach is now in Israel. By Yalu Oilers, and they offered Oilers. By Yizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim, and they offered sacrifices of Shlomim Lashem to Hashem Purim Bo. So the question is, Rav Chista says that word at the end of the pasuk Purim, does it refer to both kinds of korbanos or just one? So do we read the pasuk by Yishlach Nare Bnei Yisrael by Yalu Oilos, and we stop over there? And what would those Oilos be? Kvasim, they would be sheep, which in that case that would fit better with Rav Akiva's opinion that it was the Korban Tamid, because the Korban Tamid of course is a sheep. And then when it says by Yizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem Parim, when it says they offered Parim, then that would mean only the Shlomim. So it would be, in other words, not only they brought two different types of korbanos, Oilos and Shlomim, but also that they brought two different types of animals: sheep for lambs for the Oila, and bulls for the Shlomim. Ojuma Aidi Va'aidi Parim. Or maybe what the pasuk means is both of them were bulls. Both the Oila and the Shlomim were bulls, and that would fit better with Rebbe Lazar's opinion that they weren't the Korban Tamid, because the Korban Tamid is a sheep, not a bull. So the Gemara says, "Amai nafka minna." So why is the so what's the practical difference? This is something that happened in the past. This is something that happened by Matan Torah. So it's nice to know what happened, but why do we need a machlokas about, or why not a machlokas? Why do we need to understand? So okay, we can learn the pasuk either way. Why is it important for us to know what kind of animals were which korban? So the Gemara says, "Mazutra amal apisuk taimi." Mazutra says that we need to know as far as assigning truck to the pasuk. Now you have like this, when you have truck on a pasuk, the truck, by the way, in the times of the Gemara, were not written down yet. They were still Baal Peh. The symbols that we have for the truck were based on the Zohar and based on other things. They existed before that, but they were Baal Peh, and they were written down only in the times of the Goyim. There is a minority opinion from the famous Medactic of Eliyahu Bacher, who says they were actually invented in the times of the Goyim, but I know as far as in the Kurdish we say Alpi Kabbalah that they existed from the beginning. I believe the same is true as far as the Trop. Be that as it may, the point is you need Trop regardless, but the question is how do you assign the Trop to the Pasuk? Now we know in the Trop, the strongest separating tier up in a posik. Well, you have the sof posik at the end. You have the asnachta in the middle, which breaks it into two major parts. And then within that, you have lesser separating tier up, and you have connected tier up. So now Rashi explains like this. If it means that there were two different types of animals, sheep for the Ola and bulls for the Shlomim, then on the words Vayalu Olos, on the word Olos, you would have an Asnachta, but they would break the Pasuk into two, and that's in fact how we have it in our Chumashim. So then it would be, Vayishlach is not a Bnei Israel, Vayalu Olos, stop. Separately, Vayizvach was Vachim Shlomim Lashem Parim, and that's not a problem, because then the word Parim refers only to the second half of the Pasuk. If you say that it was all bulls, like the second possibility of Chista asked, then you shouldn't have an asnachta on the word olos. Instead, you should have some kind of lesser separating tirach. Rashi says, for example, a patched or a revi. You actually use the expression she'en and mafsikin, that they wouldn't break it up. It's not that they don't break it up at all, but in other words, they would break it up less than an asnachta word. If the word parim refers to both kinds of korbanos, in other words, then the word olos should have a lesser separating tirach, such as a pashto or a revi, and then the asnachta would come someplace else in the pasuk. You might have, for example, that it would come after the words asnari b'nei Yisrael. So you'd have Vayishlach Moshe, Vayishlach asnari b'nei Yisrael, you'd have the asnachta there, and then the rest of the pasuk without an asnachta, and it would tell what types of korbanos they brought. Or you might have the asnachta, someplace else, whatever the point is. In other words, that you wouldn't have it on the word olos, because that breaks up, that takes away the parim from olos, and then we're saying according to this possibility that no, the olos themselves were parim. So now Zutra says that's the nafkamina to know what kind of korbanos they brought. We have to know how to assign tirup to the pasuk. Rav Acha b'Reidu Rava Amar La'Omer Harei Ala Ola Ka'Ola Sheikriv Yisrael Bamidbar. Rav Acha b'Reidu Rava says a different answer. Suppose a person were to say, I vow to bring an Ola like the kind that the Jewish people brought in the Midbar before Matan Torah. Well, then we need to know, does that mean that he has to bring a sheep, or does that mean that he has to bring a bull? So my parim havu, I plus havu. So we need to know, were they bulls or were they sheep? So he must just take, we really don't know. So we really don't know. So in the case of the truck, ultimately the Masorah tells us, like Rashi says, that we put the asnachta on the word snari b'nei Yisrael, on the word olos, which implies that the parim are something separate and they don't belong together with the olos. As far as the din, where a person makes such a neder, the pashtus, I guess we would say that he would have to bring both. He'd have to bring both a sheep and a bull in order to be yotzi. Even Yaakov points out a deeper idea behind it. Why in fact we would think to say that it was a bull. One point is because when by Matan Torah they were given the special ksarim, Hashem gave them the special crowns for Nase and Nishma, so therefore like they became like koyanim, so to speak, and a koyan's special korban, a koyan gadol's special korban, as we know when it comes to Yom Kippur, and when it comes to if he makes a mistake in halacha, then his special korban is a panel. One idea being that a pal represents leadership, and therefore that's appropriate for the Kohen Gadol. Whatever the case, the point is, in other words, that therefore that might be a reason to think that in fact they brought Torim as their korban before Matan Torah. Tosfos also points out, by the way, that not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but you know, you have the Gemara elsewhere mentioned there are five psukim that Ein Lahem Hechra. We have a word in the middle of a pasuk, and we can't be sure which half of the pasuk it belongs to. Here, it's not really the same thing. Here, the word parim is at the end of the pasuk, and it's one or the other. But either way, no question, it belongs to the second half of the pasuk. The question is whether it belongs to the first half as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam. Now we learn in the Mishnah at the beginning of Peah, which we say every day and every morning in davening, Elu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shir. The following mitzvahs have no shir, there's no fixed amount for them. HaPeah, giving Peah, Min HaTorah, you can give even one stalk of grain or whatever it is from your field or from your vegetable plot or whatever. And your Yotze Peah, Midrabbanan, you have to give a minimum 1/60th. Bikurim, same thing. And I told her one fruit would be enough. Midrabanan, you have to give, at least 1/60th. Bahara Oyun, and your Oyun, which is the Ola Sri'iyah that we're talking about, but actually the Gemara goes on to discuss that there's two possible meanings of the word Ra'oy. It can mean the Ola Sri'iyah, and it would mean that the Ola Sri'iyah Minatora has no minimum value. It could also mean, it's Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish in the Gemara, whether it means that or whether Re'oyen means the mitzvah of appearing before Hashem in the Bis Mikdash. On the Shalosh Shugalim, that there's no shiur for it. You could come one time or you could come many, many times throughout the Yom Tov, and there's no specific amount. The Machlokas, basically, the Gemara explains, boils down to the question, do you have to bring a korban every time you come? Is it that every time you come to the Bais HaMikdash, you have to bring a korban, you have to bring an Ola Sri'iyah, because you can't appear empty-handed. In that case, then Re'oyin would mean that there's no shear as far as the number of times you can appear, but each time has to be with a korban. Or would it mean that Re'oyin means that the value of the Ola Sri'iyah, you only need to bring it once, and it has no minimum value in that term. Anyway, Gmilas Hasadim, there's no minimum amount for any, even the smallest act of Gmilas Hasadim is a great thing. But Talmud Torah, the same thing, there's no minimum. You can have the bare minimum. The Gemara even mentions in Menachos, for example, that a person, the Dievid, could just be Yotze by saying Shema in the morning and the evening. Well, the Gemara says, don't tell that to the Amei Aretz, because then they're going to think they don't need to learn. Anyway, the point is, so the Gemara goes on to discuss that doesn't mean they have no maximum value, but Minatora, they all have a minimum value. No, it means that all of them have no minimum Minatora either. Like we said, with Peah and Bikurim and the rest of them, Minatora, you would be Yotze, even with the smallest amount. Midrabanan, they have Shiurim. Peah, 1/60th. Bikurim, also 1/60th. Ro'oyen, you have Machlok, Bishama, Bishilo, how much the korban has to be worth, and so forth. Okay. Further on, the Gemara says, Rav Levi wrong. Rav Levi pointed out you have a seeming contradiction between the Pesukim. Steve, one Pesuk says in Mishlei, Hoikar Raglocha Mibeis Re'echa. The Pesuk says, keep your feet away from the house of your friend. Now, in the simple meaning of the Pesuk, the Pesuk continues because he may get sick of you. Penis Vacho Sneach. Pashup Chat, it means, don't be in your friend's house all the time. Sooner or later, he's going to get tired of you and kick you out. But the Gemara doesn't like that explanation. That it's telling you of a matter of derech eretz towards your friend. The Gemara's understanding that it means beis re'echa means the house of Hashem. Rashi points out we find that Hashem called the Jewish people his friends. L'man achai v'rei means that Hashem is saying for the sake of my brothers and friends, meaning the Jewish people, adabra shalom bach. Oh, as far as Gmilas Chasadim, by the way, I forgot to mention, Tosfos points out from the Yerushalmi on Peah, on that Mishnah and Peah, that when we say Gmilas Chasadim, there's no minimum, Ein Lo Shir, that means as far as the Gufa, the Mamoinoi, there is a Shir, because you have a maximum amount officially that you can give for Tzedakah, as we know, Hamavazvez, Ayyavazvez, Yosem Chomesh, although of course you have the point that Alter Rebbe makes in Tanya, that when you're giving it because of it to make up for fasting, for Averis, then that's it. Anyway, so when we say morning davening, like Gmilas Chasadim has no shear, there's a difference in Gmilas Chasadim with Gufoy versus Mamoinoi. There's no maximum amount that you can do with Gufoy, and even the smallest amount with Gufoy is also valuable. Yeah. Anyway. So getting back to the Gemara over here. Anyway, so Hoika Raglachom Beis Re'echa. So again, so Rashi says Hashem calls the Jewish people his friends, and therefore this pasuk in Mishlei means Shlomo is using the same metaphor to mean keep your feet away from Hashem's house. Now, why does the Gemara not just use the simple pshat that it's telling you a matter of derech eretz between you and your friend? Marasha explains because the whole Mishlei, by the name of it is Mishalim, meaning, in other words, it's not just telling you the surface meaning of the pasuk. On the surface, it's telling you various things of interpersonal derech eretz or whatever, but really they're all meant as Mishalim, and among other things, they're referring to the relationship between you and Hashem. So here, when we have this pasuk, then we're meant to understand it's a metaphor for our relationship to Hashem. Another point, Marashas says, if it just meant the simple meaning, don't be all the time visiting your friend's house, then why the expression raglocha? Raglocha suggests something having to do with the shalosh regal. Anyway, the point is, the pasuk seems to be saying that you shouldn't make a habit of visiting Hashem's house too often. On the other hand, you have a pasuk in Tilim where David HaMelech says, "I will come to your house with oilus," implying that actually that you're welcome in the Bais Hamikdash anytime. As far as the Laman Achavereya, by the way, Marsha points out, not like Rashi, who learns that Laman Achavereya is Hashem speaking. Marsha says, no, that's David speaking. He's calling the Jewish people Achavereya. But we find Hashem calls the Jewish people Rayosi in Shir Hashirim. Either way, the point is Reyacha over here means the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. So again, so you have one pasuk implying that you shouldn't be over familiar and you shouldn't be coming that often to the Bais Hamikdash. On the other hand, you have a pasuk where David is saying, I will come to your house with Olus. So the answer is like Kasha, Kan b'chatois v'ashamis, Kan b'olus v'shlomim. Depends what kind of korban we're talking about. If we're talking about that you're coming with a chatas or an oshem, don't make it happen too often. Better you should stay away from doing averus in the first place, so you don't have to bring a chatas or an oshem. So that's the kind of thing that shlomim means in Mishlei when he says hoika rag l'cham beis reach. Plan your steps, do things appropriately, such that when you're coming on the Sholosh Regalim, you shouldn't have to be bringing chatois v'ashamos for the various averus that you did throughout the year. And ba'olos v'shlamim, as opposed to when it comes to an olos v'shlamim, those by all means, those are the neder and the dava. Those are you bringing because you want to be in Hashem's good graces and because you want to give Hashem a gift. So by all means, bring those whenever you want. Okay, an oila, you have, strictly speaking, is sometimes brought for certain kinds of averus, the kinds that otherwise wouldn't be chayav korban. But either we're talking about an oila over here that's not required at all, where a person brings it completely voluntarily, or we're talking about even those kinds, but after all, a person is not required to bring them al pi halacha, so therefore it's something voluntary, and Hashem appreciates that. Kanyan, the Hachavilin similarly, but I say exactly that distinction. The Pasuk about staying away from your friend's house is talking about bringing Chatois and Hashamos, which you should take steps to avoid doing that in the first place. After Omer, the Chatois Vashamos saying, Ella, but Olus Shlomim, maybe not. Maybe the Pasuk is saying, even Olus Shlomim, you shouldn't be bringing that often. No, sure, Omer, over base Chaba Olus, but you have Dovin, I'm not Pasuk. I will come to your house with olos, and olos is shlomim amr. So we see that it's fine to bring olos and also shlomim. One of the only mentions olos, but fine. We understand that shlomim also being like an olos, that you bring it benedu and a dover, is in the same category. So it comes out what we said before, that the distinction is don't. And Shlomo is warning you, take steps to begin with, that you don't end up having to come too often to Hashem's house with Chatois V'Hashomos, but Olos and Shlomo is not a problem in the first place, because those you're bringing voluntarily. And those you're not bringing, more to the point, those you're not bringing specifically because of an Aveir. Worth mentioning in that connection, by the way, you know, that Amma mentions, we know that when you bring a chatas or an oshem and you do smicha on it, then you say vidui for whatever the particular aveira was. On the other hand, when it comes to a shlomim, that Amma says, then you don't, there's nothing to say vidui on. Instead, you say divrei shiras v'teshuvos. You say praises to Hashem for whatever the good thing that he did for you, for which you're thanking him with a shlomim. And therefore, so Hashem appreciates that kind of thing. So by all means, do that as often as possible. Mishnah says, if a person has a lot of members of his family who are going to be eating, korbanos, and let's say he doesn't have very much spare money, maybe shlomim merubim ba'olus mu'atim. So then he should bring more shlomim and fewer olus. He does have to bring at least one of each, but since he needs meat for his family, and after all, ein simcha el b'baser, so he should be bringing more shlomim and fewer olus. So that way he's not straining his finances to bring more olus, which are going to get completely burnt, and he has plenty of meat for simchas yomtov for his family. And if he has the other way around, lots of, he's wealthy and he has very few people eating, maybe olus merubim, so the shlomim watim, then the other way around, let him bring more olus and fewer shlomim. If he has little of both, not very much money, and a small family, al zenem, mar kesef, shtei kesef, that's the figures that it mentioned in the first Mishnah, where you have the machlokas v'shama v'shilol, how much the olus re'iyah and the shama chagiga have to be worth, where there you just bring the minimum size olus re'iyah and the minimum size shama chagiga. Zeb Zem Rubin, And if you have both, if you have a lot of both, you're wealthy and you have a large family, al zenem. Well, there, the pasuk says at the end of parashas, at the end of this week's parasha, when it talks about aliyah leregel, when the korbanos you bring, ish tmat nasiyah, that each person should give according to what his hand is able to give. In accordance with the bracha that Hashem gave you, so that would be then don't stick to the minimums. Then bring the biggest and most expensive animals that you can, and as many of them as you can. So Rashi explains in particular, you bring in many olas because ishkamat nasiyade. Marshal says that actually no, ishkamat nasiyade really refers that you have more shlomim and then you're giving them and then you're giving them out to your family and your guests and all of that. He also points out why the expression ishkimat nasiyade. Just say ishmat nasiyade. What's the chof come in for? So he says what it means is like this: the pasuk is talking about two people. You can have a person who's not very rich, but he wants to give as much of his money as he can to Hashem on behalf of Korbanos. So then he should give ish to matnas yodi. He should give according to what his hand gives. He may not be wealthy enough that it's normal for him to do that, but nevertheless, he wants to give according to what he sees fit. Gizlum to hate right. And then the second half of the pasuk, Kivirkas Hashem Alekecha, is talking about where he actually has been blessed by Hashem with wealth, where therefore, by all means, in accordance with, commensurate with his wealth, he should be bringing larger and more expensive korbanos. Okay. Further on, you have a Mishnah that talks about now some things in life, you know, you miss them, you can make them up later. But a classic example, of course, being Pesach Sheni, Nishrak and Farfalim. On the other hand, the fact is that there are some things you miss them, you don't have another opportunity. One example, the first one the Mishnah mentions, is as far as these korbanos of Yomtiv. You have the 7 days of the Yomtiv, 8 in the case of Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. You also have 7 in connection with Shavuos, which, as we know, that's why the few days after Shavuos we don't say Tachnun. You, during that time, you can be bringing your Olus and your Shlomim. If you miss that, there's no making up for it later. You can bring more korbanos next time around, but it doesn't make up for the fact that you missed out last time. So the Mishnah goes on to mention that there are other examples of that. There are other examples in life of where the pasuk says "Mu'uvas lo yuchal lisko," and there's something that's crooked and can't be made straight. So the Gemara expands on that. Tanya, "Mu'uvas lo yuchal lisko and ketzad." What does it mean? A crooked thing that can't be made straight. A person missed saying Shema in the morning or in the evening, or davening Shemana Esrei in the morning or in the morning or in the evening, meaning any of the three tefillos. So that's it. There's no making it up afterwards. Later on, he'll say Shema b'kavana. Later on, he'll daven b'kavana. It still doesn't make up for the fact that he missed it that time, as Alter Rebbe points out at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva. The vote is each mitzvah's essay is supposed to be where you're bringing down a light, an odor of a key into the world. And if you miss the mitzvah, then the fact is that light is lacking, and you haven't brought it down, and therefore, there's no making it up later on. The chesron lo yuchal leimonis. The pasuk in the same pasuk in Kehelis continues. Something that's missing can't be counted. What does that mean? Zeshiminuhu or shenimnu chaberov v'dvar mitzvah means when people have counted themselves towards a mitzvah. People are getting together a group for a mitzvah. For example, Rashi says they're saying, let's say we're going on mitzvah, we're going on whatever mitzvah. Come with us. And now and he doesn't join with them in the camp. So now they wound up doing the mitzvah. They wound up getting a bunch of kaptas or whatever, and he missed out on the opportunity. Marshall points out that another way of understanding it is, for example, that he davened b'yichidus. He had an opportunity to go join a minyan, and he chose instead to go and daven b'yichidus. So that's the chesu and layuchal lehimonis. Marshall also points out another. Now we said it, the Gemara had mentioned shavitol tefilah shal shachos or shal arvus. So he missed. He missed Shemana Esrei of Shacharis or of Maariv. What about Mincha? Okay, one thing you could say is fine. It means Mincha, of course, as well. But we're mentioning Krishma, which is only twice a day, so therefore it also mentions the Tefillahs that are twice a day, but of course you really have three of them. The other possibility, Maharsha says, think of it like this. We know the halacha is you miss Shacharis, the bonus, then you can daven two times Shemana Esrei by Mincha. You miss Mincha, you can daven two times Maariv, and so forth. Well, you think about it, when it comes to Shacharis, when are you making it up? Still the same day. Mincha is the same day as Shacharis. You miss Ma'ariv, when are you making it up? By Shachris. Still the same day, because by Yerev, by Yerev, the next morning is still part of the same day as the night before. But when it comes to Mincha, you're making it, if you're going to be making it up, if you're going to be davening it to Tfilas Tashlumin, it's by Ma'ariv, which is already the next day. So therefore, so it's still, you may have made it up. You made up that missed tefillah. Nevertheless, it's still in a certain sense more of a stone, because the fact is, so even with the other one, even with Shachris and with Ma'ariv, you're making them up. And it's still the same day. It's still more of a slow yuchaliskan. How much more so mincha, where the making it up is not even on the same day. So, Samarashah says that's another reason why the Gemara is, why the Braisa is mentioning only Shachris and Ma'ariv, because it's almost like a Kavachomer. Even by those, it's more of a slow yuchaliskan. How much more so by mincha? So the Gemara says, "Amalei bar hehei lehiro." My dichtin in this connection, the Gemara goes on to discuss the importance of doing mitzvahs in a group and of not missing out on opportunity to serve Hashem. So bar hehei asks hiro. The Pashkus, this bar hehei is the same one that we have at the end of last week's Pirkei Avos. And hehei umel from Tzara Agra. The Pashkus is the same one. I don't know for sure though. It's brought the famous thing that he and Ben Bagbag are both Gerim. They changed their name because they didn't want to be getting in trouble with the authorities, because at that time converting to Yiddishkeit was illegal, or at least semi-illegal. So they took like aliases for themselves, and Ben Hey would be what is called that in particular, because Abraham and Sarah, they were the first Gerim, both had a Hey added to their names. Anyway, so he asks Hillel. The Hillel over here could be Hillel HaZakin, or it could be one of the later Chachamim named Hillel. Anyway, my dichtiv, Pasuk says in Malachi, v'shavtem re'isem ben tzadik l'rosha, you'll return, you'll look back and you'll see the difference between the tzadik and the rosha. Tosfos actually mentioned this point about bar hei, that he was a ger, and then the hei was added because of a ram and sara. And then bag also is a beis gimel, is also gematria hei. Although Mephoroshim explained that beis gimel, that bag stands for ben ger, ben gieris. Anyway, so bar hei asks him. So v'shavtem re'isem ben tzadik l'rosha, the pasuk says you'll return and you'll see the difference between the tzadik and the rosha, bein oved elokim la'asher la'avodeh, between the difference between the one who serves Hashem and the one who doesn't serve him. The pasuk is repetitious. Hainu tzadik, hainu oved elokim, hainu rosha, hainu la'avodeh. The tzadik is the one who serves Hashem, and the rosha is the one who doesn't serve Hashem. What's the difference? So Amalei, so he answered him, so who will answer him, or different girsa they have over here is in older Gemaras, is Ella, rather, that he answered his own question. Avodah, v'loy avodah, tach havayot tzadikik gmurim. No, the tzadik and the rosha, yeah, one's a tzadik, one's a rosha. The Ovid elekim and the asher loy avodah, they're both tzadikim. They're both tzadikim gmurim. Avol, ena dream, a shona pirke, may upon him, l'shona may of achas. You can't compare when he reviewed his learning 100 times versus when he reviewed it 101, where there he went beyond the normal thing. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the normal practice in those days, where when everything was Baal Peh, is you learned everything that you learned, you would review 100 times. So the one who does 100 times is just sticking to the normal way of doing things. He's not going beyond his hair. The one who does 101 is going the extra amount, the extra mile, literally, as the Gemara is going to give the example over here. And therefore, he's considered Oved Elokim, because an Oved Elokim is somebody who goes beyond what his usual teva is, as Alter Rebbe explains in detail over there in Perek Tesvav of Tanya. Anyway, so Maharsho also points out that where do we go? Why at this 100 and 101? So loy as so Oved Elokim la'asher, the initials of that ayin aleph lamed equal 101. Meanwhile, loy avodoy is the lamed and the ayin is gematria 100. So therefore, that represents the 100 and the 101. He goes on to explain the deeper meaning of doing 100, which is that you're doing like ma'aser and a ma'aser, you're doing like trumas ma'aser, which is 100, and then when you go beyond that, then it's chelik elokami mal. There's also a vort on it that says that Mal Mechol, the Gematria of Mechol, is 101. So therefore, when a person learns 101 times, then it means that he has Mal Mechol together with him, and he's serving Hashem on a much higher level. I think there's someplace also, I think, where Oblivi Yitzchak, that his father, comments that the difference in Gematria between the word Zohar and the word Shochach is 101. Zohar is Zayin Chof Resh is 227. Shochach is Shin Chof Ches is 328. The difference is 101, representing the 101 that we're talking about over here, the ideal number of times you should review. So then Hehe says, you're telling me because the guy missed out one more time reviewing his learning, he's called Lo Yavodai, he didn't serve Hashem. Omalein said, Hillel tells him, sure. Say Olamad Mishok Shochamarim. Go and see how it is in the, when you go to hire a donkey driver, or, you know, to put it in modern terms, when you hire a taxi. Asora parasi bezuza. To go 10 parasa, which is the standard amount that they usually go, you would pay him 1 zuz. Ask of a had parasi, you want to go 11 parasi, you're only going 1 parasa more, which is only a couple of miles, with 3 zuzi, you're paying a whole nother zuz. So we see, in other words, that when you're going beyond your regulus, beyond what you normally do, then it's considered something so extra that you pay extra for it. So the same way, the one extra time over the 100 that this guy reviews his learning is so valuable in Hashem's eyes that it puts him in a whole new level and it makes him an over the key. See, where are we? Hey Menachem Av. The Rebbe was talking about in the Yechidus and Tavshin and Beis that we're nowadays in Yemos Mashiach, and all we need to do is open our eyes, and we'll already see that we have the Gula Amitis Vashlema in its simple sense. And most importantly, it happens with Poyo Mamish, it happens Lamata Masara Tvachim in our physical world in a way that we can see it to the extent where we're actually able to make a bracha on the birth and on the revelation of Mashiach, to be able to make the bracha Shechianu. And when you notice that Eva says, note the words in the bracha, Shechianu v'kimonu v'higionu. The word v'higionu, the simple meaning is that Hashem made us reach this time, but v'higionu is also Meloshin Negiya, Hashem allowed us to touch. So we're talking about, in other words, that they'll come with that when we actually see Mashiach, not only will see him, we'll actually be able to touch him, we'll actually be able to touch him tangibly, and therefore that gives us a new dimension in the meaning of the Baruch Shechianu that we're going to say at that time. B'niyad Mamish. So I'm also not real sure where we're holding in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch throughout all this time, so I guess we'll start, for example, with the dinim. We'll start with Simon K. Dalad, talking about dinim of wearing things out in the street. So the basic general rule is if something is not considered a garment and it's not considered an ornament, then you're not allowed to go out with it to the Shasar Adam or to Kindness. So an example would be a needle that's stuck in your clothes, and that means whether we're talking a needle or a pin. If it's a decorative pin, then that may be something different those are talked about in following Simonim, but here we're talking about a plain pin, like a push pin or something. Even for a man, you have to be machmir, even if we're talking about that you're doing it in order to hold the clothes together. On the other hand, women sometimes use pins like that to pin their tichels and other such things in place. So such things would be allowed on Shabbos. But even then, it has to be a needle without a hole, because a needle with a hole has a chashivus of its own. You use it for sewing, and you're not mevatel it to use it for use it for pinning up clothing. Then when it comes to jewelry and ornaments or whatever, there are all kinds of things where Chazal asked to go out with the Tirush HaSarabim for various reasons. Some for men, some for women, some of them because they might take it off, some of them show off to their friends, some of them because they're loose and they might fall off, all kinds of different things. The minhag has developed to be matter. Many of them, poskim, have given various reasons for this, but nevertheless, Yerushalayim should be careful about it. One particular example is that a man is not allowed to wear a ring on Shabbos that doesn't have a seal on it, just like a plain wedding band or something. The Alter Rebbe actually adds that even if it has a signet, then a man shouldn't be wearing it nowadays either, but at least you shouldn't be most friends with a person. A man can't wear a watch on Shabbos, we're talking about, for example, like a pocket watch. So if it's a pocket watch, then for sure there's no heter for it at all. If he wears it on his wrist or around his neck or something, then it's attached, then there's a little more room, but even so, it's not something that he should be wearing on Shabbos. Nowadays, many watches are digital, and you press the buttons and different things happen. So that's a whole nother issue. And those such watches are muktzah, to the best of my knowledge, are muktzah on Shabbos anyway. And there's not really any havam, you know, being able to wear those.